Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the It's Been Way Too Long Since Matt and Bob Did a Podcast, and both of us are going to do our best not to say the F word 1,700 times. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Matthew, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Your voice is a little raspy. Are you okay?
I don't think you can call it a summer cold because there's no summer.
Yeah, there is no. Yeah, that's a good point. There isn't.
So we'll just call it a cold.
Yeah.
It's been one of those lingering ones, though. It's in my chest. It won't go away.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't mean to be a baby about it. I'm a bit, you can hear my voice. It's a bit off. So I'll do my best to. Matt, This is going to be the Matt and sometimes Bob show because I'm going to try to dummy up.
Yeah.
And just let you go off.
I'll do some of the heavy lifting. We need to discuss religious imagery and why sometimes it makes me feel really good and reassured, and other times it scares me.
You made the very generous gesture to drive down to my place. Hang on a second. Sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, I drove over here, Bob. I don't know if it's a sneeze or if it's a yawn. Our reporters... Nope. Yep. That was a yawn or that was a sneeze. So, as I was walking...
I feel like Kevin Durant.
Yeah. We'll get there. As I was walking here, it's a beautiful day, and you've got a very nice neighborhood you live in here. And I passed by a house that had a very religious sort of mural, Jesus, and it was outside someone's home. And my thought was, oh, that's nice. It's good to have faith. But then if that exact same image was outside of a barn in the middle of nowhere, I would have said, we've got to get out of here. We've got to run. It's totally not fair, but yet the same image, but in a different spot, I'd have completely different reactions.
So there's two things I would say. One is that's true of Christianity. Two, that's true of country living.
Yeah.
Country living first. Because there's no neighbors to check in what you might be up to.
Yeah.
So I always believe things are just a little weirder in the country. You know, when you live in the city, how nutty can you really get? I mean, somebody lives next door.
Yeah.
You got 75 cats? Everybody knows.
Everyone knows.
But up at the farm.
Yeah.
Huh? Farms always freak me out for that reason, because people keep you accountable.
But the weird thing is that's emotion-based. If you went with facts... There's a lot more crime in urban areas than there is in rural areas.
Is there?
Yeah.
Percentage-wise, is there?
I think so.
I think if you want to buy meth, you go to a small town.
Mm. Well, that's the difference between you and I, Bob. I go to my local downtown spot for all my meth needs.
That's true. The beer store. The meth store.
Yeah, exactly.
In corner stores now. So, Carolyn Mulrooney is going to do a little Twitter video about it.
By the way, just let this be said once again. To the conservatives out there, just stop it, okay? Whether it was the, get gas now because of the carbon tax, and every, Ontario PC did it, or then, why can't I get beer at my convenience store with my local convenience store owner, whom I am good friends with? Like, just
whom
open.
I am good friends with.
Like, it's so obvious.
Because everybody lives next door to Kim's Convenience?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, ironically, I do live next to, my friend Sujith, who is actually on the show. But anyway.
Okay, so anyway, we diverged from the Christianity thing.
Yeah.
The other thing is, have you ever noticed in a horror movie, if you want shit to look scary, just put a cross in the room?
Always.
Might as well just write a note on the wall that says, this place is effed.
Yeah. I have to say for that, actually, I think that it's a little bit unfair. Hollywood does it all the time to demonize religion because Hollywood a little bit more left, so thus they don't probably embrace religion as much. And I mean, we can get in the conversation with the evils of religion, but at the same time, I think it's an easy, lazy trope to go with, any sort of like Christian imagery as a harbinger for doom. And I'm saying that as someone who has been to church once, so I don't really have a dog in the race. I think it's a little bit lazy by Hollywood.
It's just a quick shorthand, right?
Yeah.
It's what are some other horror movie shorthands out there? The other classic cliches?
I would say when there's like dead animals hanging.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like if you see it on Spadina, you're like, yummy, I'm going to get duck. If you see it in the horror movie in the forest, you're like, my face is about to get torn off.
Oh, and I'll go one step further with that. Speaking of dead crops. Dead crops, always bad.
Always bad. Scarecrows, never good. Wizard of Oz, the only time a scarecrow has done anything good since then, it's just been a parade of evil.
All right. Speaking of parade of evil, shall we get into last night?
Sure. All right. I got two places I'd like to start with.
All right. I'm going to let this coffee warm up my throat. So, okay. So you filibuster and I'll jump in.
Two easy narratives from last night's game. The Raptors fans are evil as they lustfully cheered Kevin Durant's pain. The second easy narrative is Nick Nurse is the reason why the Raptors lost that game. What's with that timeout?
Okay, which one do you want to do first?
Let's do the on-the-court one, which is the less sexy. Mm-hmm. But we'll start there. So 3 minutes to go. Raptors are up 103-97. And Steph Curry, he missed. He missed a shot. Oh, heavens rejoice. Get the rebound. Raptors are on a 12-2 run. Timeout called. It felt weird. It felt like, oh, keep the momentum going. But I can't kill Nick Nurse for that unless I can get an honest reaction from the players. I mean, maybe they did want a bit of a breath. Maybe they wanted to discuss the final 3 minutes. I mean, that was a hell of a run and a lot of energy expended on both sides, you know, for the Raptors to get that 12-2 run and Golden State missing a couple shots. And defensively, they were a little bit lapse. But there's so many more tangible, real reasons why the Raptors lost that game. I can't do the easy blame the coach thing.
In a close game, little things like that matter. We're more than happy to say Kyle Lowry missed a three, and therefore the Raptors lost. I heard that. I got that text from about 15 different friends last night.
Yep.
In a close game between two well-matched teams, these little things do matter. I'm not as interested. I'm actually not as upset about that timeout as I am the fact that the last play, the very last play with 14 seconds on the clock, was so disorganized.
Yeah.
It felt like the team had played really smart for long stretches and then just dummy ball for the last 14 seconds. Like when Kawhi drove, he ran into a wall because he always runs into a wall. Draymond had an amazing switch. He played a great game.
He did.
He is just such a beast to handle. But anyway, and then kicking it back to Fred, who looked like he was going to jack up a shot until he realized, I actually have a couple seconds and this would be nuts.
Yeah.
And he did find Kyle for, and think about that. Draymond was covering Kawhi on one end of the floor and he was the guy who contested the three in the corner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
And that's they were moving.
And that's why whenever the narrative goes, oh, the poor wounded Golden State Warriors. I'm like, there's Draymond Green. He's under 30. He's an all-star. There's Klay Thompson. He's under 30. He's an all-star. There's Steph Curry. He's 31. But you know what? Still putting up about 35, 37 points per game. So the whole Golden State is wounded. I'm like, get the hell out of here with that.
Yeah, you look at this guy, you go, top 20 player ever, top 50 player, top 50 player. I think they're okay.
Yeah, and DeMarcus Cousins has had two great games, and he's had three irrelevant games. So again, plenty of talent there.
By the way, we're not crying over Kyle's banged up left hand, right?
Or Kawhi Leonard just being basically, you know,
exhausted and destroyed.
Yeah, exactly. No, we don't discuss that. But
put a pin in that one because I want to come back to that.
Yeah. So you're right. So Draymond's fantastic. But for me, I look at it at that game. I look at the Lowry, not the shot at the end of the game, the 3-pointer he missed that was wide open with 2 minutes to go with the Raptors with a 3-point lead. I look at the Raptors not capitalizing when Durant went out with 9:46 to go. Golden State went on a 9-3 run. I look at the fact that, I'm sorry, Kawhi, you were brilliant during that stretch. You were 4-15 in the first half. I look at the three-point shooting. I look at Danny Green, 0-4 from three. So, yeah, the easy thing is to look at Nick Nurse and the timeouts. But the bigger picture issue is that was a collective loss by the Raptors.
I think that's a fair point. Since it was collective, let's go over your little laundry list there. Let's start with Kawhi. I want to make a point, and then I'm going to shut up because my voice is sore. It wasn't a great game from last night, even though there was that stretch in the fourth where
it was brilliant.
It was Jordan-esque.
It was Jordan-esque when the Raptors got that 103-97 lead. That was all Kawhi Leonard, and it was breathtaking.
But he was running into the defense and not trying to pass out of it and getting stripped often. In fact, he would have been stripped a lot more often if it wasn't for his freaky claw hands that was able to often bring the ball back in.
Yeah, 100%.
But ball movement was an issue for a lot of the game, and it only didn't make the team suffer when he successfully went hero ball. So I'm not going to sit here and blame Kawhi because that's nuts. And Jordan did that a million times, and Jordan's the most loved player of all time.
Yeah.
But it didn't work last night.
It didn't.
And they knew it was coming, and they just, you know, just like the we let Boogie Cousins shoot away and Draymond shoot away.
Yep.
They were more than happy to let the other Raptors beat us last night, and they didn't.
And they didn't, and that's kind of been the recipe for every team that the Raptors have faced. If the Raptor players, and like, you know, in the end, Lowry was 9 of 18. But if Kawhi ain't making his shots, then it's up to other guys. But on the other
side... And Fred was great, too.
Yeah, Fred was great. I look at last night, and I just go with one simple stat. Golden State hit 20 three-pointers. The Raptors hit 8. The Raptors lost by 1. If you want to boil it down, that's where last night goes to.
The thing with the variance in three-point shooting is, and it makes seven-game series so hard for analytics to predict, because the variance from game to game, they look great when they hit their threes.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else.
Yeah.
They take tons of them. Give Golden State a lot of credit. You know, they've played smart. And the Raptors, with when they don't have Kevin Durant on the floor, then the Raptors are probably better than Golden State. As much as we're trained to see the opposite.
Yeah.
They're probably better, especially with banged up Clay. I don't know how banged up he is, but it's not
100%. I don't know about you, but he missed the one game, and then after that, he's looked
really good. Yeah, he's looked really good.
He's shooting nearly 60% from three.
He's just... you know what he needed? He needed Theon's quiver of arrows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep shooting.
Yeah, it's just like... He's been filled with daggers. He's just got like one dagger after the other. Anywho.
And Steph Curry had like... You know, just heroic in game three, tired and bad in game four, and brilliant last night.
I think what you said was really, really true, which was just the Raptors had a team letdown.
Yeah.
And they still only lost by one with a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play great.
Yeah, no.
They had, but you know what they showed last night that I absolutely loved and why I'm not as worried about them as I could be?
Okay.
Is they showed real resilience. They never let Golden State have the big run. It's only happened once in this whole series, game two, the 18-0.
Yep.
Last night, you could see somebody steps up when Golden State starts to pick up a head of steam and hits a bucket or two. Because of that, even when they weren't great for most of the game, but they never sucked at any point either.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to put it. They were rarely great, except for that one stretch near the end, but they never did suck.
And you could just see if they could put together a couple more runs of playing really well and having shots drop, because the shots didn't drop all night.
Yeah.
If they had a stretch where a couple threes go in a row, I think Golden State's ready to have its back broken. They just didn't deliver it. They didn't deliver the bomb.
Heaven forbid we do an episode where there isn't a Jaws reference.
I feel very Quinty today.
Yeah, you sound very Quinty today.
I don't doubt it.
Oh, God.
Talking about fishing for a living. Yeah. Talking about sharking.
Well, I have to tell you, emotionally, it's official. I'm going back to pure terror. I know the Raptors just need to win one of the next two games. There's no more Kevin Durant. The Raptors will have the best player. I don't care. I'm in full terror mode. Man, I wanted to celebrate last night. I was picking the bottle of wine. I was going to open up. I was going to pour it into a water bottle. And I was just going to wander the city, slowly sipping. Instead, I just went to bed angry. Just fired off a bunch of angry tweets and went to bed angry. That was me last night.
So that was how you were planning to celebrate. I like that idea. Reminds me of my old scotch walks.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to scotch walk, except it was going to be a nice bottle of wine. Not the whole bottle, but just enough into a water bottle. And you know, just go as close as I could to the ACC and just sort of feel the positive and just the wonderfulness from the win and the championship. And instead, I just, you know, sat at home, typed for an hour, and took me longer to fall asleep than it should have just because, you know, my insides were feeling sad.
All right, so I'm going to play a game with you. We didn't really have a top five, so we'll just throw an impromptu list together.
Yep.
In descending order, starting with the top. Actually, no, let's do ascending order.
Okay.
Raptors you most trust to get this thing over the hump.
Okay.
Starting with number five. Obviously, Kawhi's number one.
Kawhi's
number... And Kyle's number two.
Is Kyle 2 or is Pascal Siakam 2?
Okay, well, let's start. Starting with 5.
Number 5, let's see. Number 5 is Marc Gasol. Number 4, Fred VanVleet. Number 3, this is the tough one. Number 3, I'm going to go Siakam. I'll go Lowry 2. And I'll go Kawhi Leonard at 1. That's my 5.
You know, when you put it that way, like, they've all been good.
Mm-hmm.
It does give you confidence. I'm with you, though. Like, I watched last night and I actually got very quiet at the end.
Yeah.
I was in a very quiet place. Mm-hmm. Not quiet like when the Leafs lost to Boston 4-1.
Yeah.
That was a dark place.
Yeah.
That was the sunken place.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I just got real quiet and I thought, you know what? Like, all bets are off here, gang. We're going back to Oracle for the last game ever. And then it's a game seven at home.
Yeah.
Against like one of the ultimate winning machines in basketball history.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. One of the most dangerous things we've seen is this Golden State Warriors team.
You know what I don't want to hear?
What?
I don't want to hear about history. I don't want to hear about 33-1. I don't want to hear about how all the odds. You know why? Because every situation is different. And obviously, they're not. It's hard to believe they're going to get Kevin Durant back again.
They're not getting him back. They're not getting Durant is done. Durant is done.
It's hard to imagine for a game seven they would say he's rested up enough after what they've seen.
If the I forget how many days off between game six and seven. If there's 238 days between game six and seven, maybe,
and he's wearing a Knicks uniform.
Yeah, maybe.
And they lend him out like soccer.
Yeah, yeah. James Dolan's like, sure, go. I don't even care.
Just be home by six.
I'm a bad owner anyway. And me and the JD and the Straight Shot, we're doing this new bluesgrass festival. So I don't really care.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to hear about history because you're playing a team that's one of the greatest teams in history.
Yep. I agree. So I want to move on to the second part, the crowd. But before we go to that, a quick shout out to Seat Giant, one of our sponsors on this show. If you are going to go to a game, I would certainly recommend Seat Giant because you will save some money on the tickets. And they're pricey. SeatGiant.ca. They're a Canadian partner on the show. They stand behind all the customer experience. All the tickets are in Canadian dollars. And use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout to save money. And if you're buying a ticket front row, you're going to save thousands of dollars using the discount code Bob and Matt. And we'll get a bit of a kickback for that, which is great, because not only will that pay for the audio boom and Bob's coffee, we'll probably still have a couple bucks still left on the other side. SeatGiant.ca.
Matt graciously went and got me a coffee because this morning we were supposed to get together early.
Yeah.
We were texting late last night,
yeah,
and my wife had already gone to bed, and I said, I think I can go to your place to do the pod, but just in case, to get Charlotte to school, I may have to stick around. Maybe you can come down here. We were going to resolve it in the morning,
yeah,
and I just passed out. I slept till 8:45. I had one of those, like your body just turns down, power down.
Yeah.
And so I hear my phone buzzing. I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's Matt. And it looks like 8:45. Jesus, I haven't, you know, last time I did this, I was a teenager.
Oh, I know. That's why I assumed I was dead? No, not you were dead. I assumed your phone was dead.
Right.
You know, yeah, so good call. I sent you Ben a bunch of texts. I'm driving my girlfriend to the airport. I can come to you. I'm near you. I can see your home. I'm going to get a coffee. Give me a call, you know, and I just sat at this nice little coffee shop and just worked on my show for today. And, you know, and here we are. And
in so many ways, you're the true hero. But what I wanted to point out is about the coffee. We have a coffee maker. We have one of those Nescafes or Nespressos or whatever.
Yeah.
Nespresso. That's what it's called.
Nespresso.
Yeah. We got it as a gift.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
The coffee stinks.
Yeah.
And I actually like coffee. I enjoy coffee. So, Matt, it'd be like if someone said to you, hey, I have an automatic wine machine,
ooh,
but the wine sucks.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, well, do I get rid of it? And you're like, well, it is fast.
It is fast.
Like, I have one in my hand in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But it doesn't taste good.
It'd be like me having like a Yellowtail dispersing machine. It's like, well, I don't really want this overly fruit bomb, but I would like some booze.
Like a Jackson Triggs carrying butler robot from Rocky IV following you around the house.
Wait a minute. That means I'm Polly in that situation.
I have been Polly in that situation many, many times. So anyway, that's why I said, can you bring me a coffee? Because you are already at my local coffee place, which is the delightful Mitzi's Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for this because I actually had a real coffee this morning.
There you go.
My day is starting right.
There you go.
As opposed to that Nespresso swill.
Remember those stupid commercials? I forget. Was it
Danny DeVito?
Before, years ago. Nespresso. You know, and then they went to George Clooney and the Danny DeVito ads as well.
Has George Clooney been in a movie since Satyricon? No, what's it called? What was it called? Not Satyricon.
Not Suburbicon. No.
Suburbicon, that's it.
Was he in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I went to the premiere.
I watched him talk. Oh, okay.
Lovely fellow.
Yeah.
Met him. Good looking.
My favorite thing recently with George Clooney, this was a couple of years ago. We're way off topic. We'll get back to the Raptors and the fans in a second.
It's not like us.
That's true. when Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were hosting the Golden Globes, and they talked about George Clooney's wife, Amal, and they said she's won awards for humanitarian.
Yeah.
She's doing all these things to help children in third world nations. And they list all her accomplishments, and then they pause, which is why we're giving a trophy to George Clooney for acting. And it was just this great little turn.
I remember that moment. They were so good. They feel
so
like
good.
They could save every single award show.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Maybe one day we'll, you know, have hosts again. Anyway, that's wow. If we go down that rabbit hole, we're going to be down to a 30-minute conversation with the Oscars.
Okay, and by the way, before we get back to the game, which we're going to now.
Yeah.
Game 7. Blues and Bruins.
Sure.
I just wanted to make sure we mentioned it at least once.
Do you know what day that game's on?
Couldn't care less. Haven't watched a minute of the series.
It's on Wednesday.
Is it?
Yeah.
This Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay, just
yes,
checking.
Yes, it is.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah, I know.
Could not care less.
I'm sorry, but yeah. No,
I don't know if anyone's noticed. I get these texts from Strombolopoulos every night whenever the game's about to start, the Raptors game.
Yeah.
Bob, flip it over to TSN. FYI, Raptors are on TV.
Yeah.
No kidding. All right, so let's get back to this. You want to talk about the Toronto crowd?
Well, the other easy narrative was those Raptor fans. Those evil Raptor fans cheering when Kevin Durant was hurt. Toronto, Yacht City, you have no class at all. It's an incredibly easy narrative. It's also the incorrect one.
Is it a straw man thing you're doing here? Like, are people saying that?
All over.
Okay, because I haven't looked at the news.
No. It's all over. Like ESPN, all the talking heads are going to be talking about this. And even reporters here, you know, it's become a topic of conversation throughout. This is not a straw man.
It didn't seem that bad.
It wasn't.
Okay,
go ahead. It wasn't at all. It was a small group of fans for a moment cheering. Now, of that small group, most of them probably didn't, you know, just saw him limping. So your first reaction is, by the way, I get the optics aren't great. Oh, he's limping. Wait a minute. One of the most powerful forces is out. We can win. Then the Raptor player said, hey, knock it off. And immediately every Raptor fan knocked it off. Silence. Then a second later, they're cheering KD's name. They're cheering as he's leaving. So you could tell there was genuine guilt. It was a brief moment by a small amount of fans, but what you're not going to see as much on the media is all the fans cheering for Durant afterwards, because that's not as sexy. And it's just another one of those easy narratives when the correct answer is small amount of fans for a small moment.
It's the CNN protest video theory, right? Where like there's 1,000 people in a crowd and they keep showing the same 4 people over and over again yelling in the face of cops.
Yeah.
When there's 995 people standing there completely peacefully.
Yeah.
Things got out of hand by 0.1% of the population. Yeah. You know, I thought about this because this is one of those moments where sports allows for philosophy.
Yep.
And when he first went down, he was then out of camera frame, right? Because we were following the play, and I can't remember who hit the layup at that point. I think it was Kyle. But Kevin Durant goes down.
Yeah.
When you were waiting for the camera to pan back, wasn't at least a small part of you saying, please be still sitting there, please be still sitting there?
Of course. What you wanted was...
And I'm not blaming you. I'm just asking because it was for me,
of
too.
Of course. What you wanted was, please just tweak your hamstring enough where you can't play for the rest of the game.
So here's what I would say for all the Raptors fans who, to your point, exactly right, know that he's come on. It could totally change the series. You're emotionally invested in this in the way that you're not emotionally invested in almost anything in your life.
Yeah.
And if he's hurt, it's going to make a big difference.
Of course.
Does it make you a bad person or a human being who had a bad thought? Because I don't think they're the same things.
No, it makes you a human being. Now, when you found out, torn Achilles, God, this is serious.
Right.
If you're still happy and excited, now you're a bad person.
Well, he wasn't writhing around in pain.
Exactly. Nor was it like in football, you know, when the worst example when Michael Irvin, when he got the hit to the head and the Philly crowd was still cheering when he was lying down. If a player is lying down and not really moving and you're cheering, then you're an evil, horrible human being.
Right. Right. That's a good way to put it, Matt.
Yeah. And it's like what we heard was it was a hamstring injury. So you see him limping a little bit. At that point, I get why for that brief moment, some people were cheering. And then the fans took the cues from the players going, hey, and they're like, oh, shoot. Yeah, that's wrong. this guy, you know, and then everyone turned, you know, everyone after that was cheering for Durant.
I was watching this and thinking, we're not privy to the conversations that led to him being in the lineup.
Mm-hmm. That's the real conversation. Not the fake one about Raptor fans. The real one about what was the process that led to Durant starting last night.
You hear more and more rumbles about how teammates and team were not happy that he was out.
Yeah.
And more the Klay Thompson coming back in game four was used as an example.
Yeah.
I don't know if Durant's thought of as tough or soft or whatever. I've never heard any soft narratives.
I've never heard about him being soft.
No, and I've never heard like Carmelo-esque diva.
No, because he's a great defensive player.
100%. And by all accounts, really leaves it out there. Like you watch basketball. Yeah. You watch him. Does he ever look like he's floating?
No.
Never, right? No. So there's no sort of ambient question marks about the guy's character.
No. Beyond, I mean, you know, choosing the easy way to join Golden State and say OKC, but that has nothing to do with his toughness or his commitment to the game.
So here's the thing. There's two things about this injury that make it interesting. One is there's a pain management aspect, which you want him to tough through.
Mm-hmm.
Two is the possibility of re-injuring it. And we heard this a lot with Klay. We don't want him to go out there, re-injure it, and lose him for the series.
Yeah.
So that's the part that makes this so gray area. You expect the guy to deal with as much pain as he physically can in order to contribute in the finals.
Yeah.
You don't expect him to go out there and re-injure himself.
100%.
And I don't think Golden State knew what to expect. And here's the curious thing, think about the parallel, the symmetry between these two organizations, where Kawhi was given all the space he needed and healed, and the whole, you know, every player in the NBA is watching that, especially the stars going, oh, you mean I might have to play 65, 70 games and then go win a championship?
Yeah.
You're cool with that?
Yeah.
Versus Golden State, who to this point have been like a model franchise, but just pushed the greatest player in the game out too early in a free agency summer.
Yeah.
And had him rip up his leg.
Yep. My pushback is we don't know. Well, we were told that the doctors all said he can play. And I feel that Kevin Durant probably also said, I can play. I'm sure everyone was on board. Now, was there everyone motivated a little bit to maybe look the other way? I don't know. And because Golden State's always seemed to have been a model organization, seemed to do things the right way, should we give them the benefit of the doubt? Or because of the desperation of the situation, do you look at it with a little bit more suspicious eye? And I don't have an answer.
So here's my thing. And I don't either, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm just going to play one on
awesome
TV.
Awesome if you were.
Me, so I'd cure my own voice. The way he went down and the short amount of time that he actually spent on the court leads me to believe this was a misdiagnosis.
Yes.
He didn't make it out of two quarters.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like high usage. He'd only played about half a quarter.
Nor was it like Serge Ibaka, you know, went rolling into him. Or remember when Draymond Green tried to intentionally injure Pascal Siakam? But then Draymond Green says that Raptor fans are trash. Draymond Green, look in the mirror, you prick. There was none of that. It was just a little bit of a tweak move by Durant, and suddenly he's out. I mean,
everything about it looked like a guy who was not ready to be there, shouldn't have been there, but was there because of circumstance to his own detriment.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is going to affect his free agency. I can't imagine that because, I mean, we'll see how hurt he is. It's not like an Achilles or this or that.
Oh, no, it is. They're saying like torn Achilles. You just woke up.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you slept until 8:45. This injury... I've heard torn Achilles. I mean, I can look it up right now. This Kevin Durant injury is serious. This is walking boot. This is crutches. It is a really serious injury that Kevin Durant has taken. This is not just the hamstring is flared up.
I thought it
was
the hamstring flared up.
No. This is.
I apologize to everyone, but remember, Matt showed up on my door with a coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
At 8 in the morning.
Yeah. I can...
No, you don't have to. I believe you. Everybody who's listening to this probably knows by now. So then let's flip this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
How bad does this make Golden State look?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where we are
question,
now.
Like, right?
Because you know that because Kevin Durant it's not like Kevin Durant says, no, I'm not going to play. And the team is like, you're going to get out there. And then, you know, and then Durant, and then the Golden State's a bunch of villains. It's not like they sat there with cattle prods and said, go and play. Like, you know, the Rancor in Return of the Jedi. And they, you know, go out there and eat. You know that didn't happen. Like, you know, Durant acquiesced to all of this. But it goes,
well, he had to say yes.
Yeah, he had to say yes. But it goes to the idea of, did the team do enough to protect Durant from himself? Did the doctors just misdiagnose, or was it just the ultimate freak moment?
So let me ask you this, Matt. This is high philosophy here. If they knew there was a reasonable chance, no, a small chance, that he could re-injure himself.
Yep.
But they also realized that they weren't going to beat the Raptors without him out there.
Yep.
Is it worth the risk? Every time you step on the floor, you assume the risk of injury.
Yeah.
But this is obviously an aggravated incident of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good chance he's going to hurt himself.
Yeah.
But is it still worth the risk because you're in the final?
I don't know. I wish I could give a more satisfactory answer.
It's complicated.
It is.
You pay the guy millions and millions of dollars.
Yep.
Do you owe him his health?
Yeah, you owe him his health.
Do you? Think about all those players. Think about Larry Bird lying on the ground at the end of his career because his back, he can't even walk after games.
Yeah. They're
practically carrying him into a cold tub. And everyone's like, man, what a heroic way to go down. He's still contributing.
Yep.
And you know this guy's going to be shuffling like an old man at 40 years old.
But that's part of the game.
Deal. Right? It's just part of the deal. You get millions of dollars and you kind of get chewed up.
Yeah.
But even in this specific instance, right? If this was game 50 in New Orleans, and you know they were like had won six in a row.
No,
nobody's trotting them out. But they're down 3-1.
They're down 3-1. Yeah, it's a hard one because you're right. Part of it, there is risk. You know the risk. That's one of the reasons why you get a lot of money every second Thursday. It's just that a move where it looked so innocent, and now there's like a torn Achilles. Like you just wonder what was going on inside of his body.
We're assuming they were related.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we can make that claim. It could have been unrelated,
what
happened to him. I guess this is the assumed risk conversation.
Yeah.
A guy comes off of a headache, off a concussion. Do you remember when Sidney Crosby, you and I were on the air at the time,
there
was Sidney Crosby concussion watch for about a year?
Yep.
Oh, he's skating with this color jersey in practice or that color jersey in practice. And then we started to say, oh, he's never going to play again. And eventually he did step out there. I remember pundits saying, he's going to have to change the way he plays, not get down low, not take so much contact. And we all knew every single time he went out there to skate, he might wind up on a stretcher again.
Yeah.
But it's assumed risk.
It's assumed risk. And yeah, and that's part of it. Just as a human being, you can make that choice. The other side is you're in such a bubble. And I'm just talking concussions. I'm not talking knees or legs or things like that. But with the concussion one, that one always is a little bit different of an argument for me because sometimes a player is in such a bubble that none of us would ever know what that's about. When you've got a small amount of years to make generational money, you think differently than you and I would. And if 65-year-old version of Crosby could have gone back in time, murdered Hitler, then after that said, hey, younger me, stop playing, who knows?
We're all savages to a certain degree. By the way, my wife's just leaving the house. Bye, Sandra.
Bye, Sandra.
I think she told me, did she just tell me to bug her off?
Something like that.
She said something. Yeah. She gave me the finger.
I think she said, I love you, Robert.
What? I took the pot off. Oh, she took the pot off. Oh, I guess I had the pot on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did?
Yeah.
Man.
I thought you were boiling, like slowly boiling eggs or something.
Well, I was slowly boiling water, which I forgot about. I got to get some Sudafed. Yeah. Anyway.
You know what's sad? When she said that, I thought she said, took the pie off. I'm like, ooh, is there a morning pie?
That's so funny. Aww. There could be, Matt.
There could be.
I got to tell you, my doctor's visits recently. When we get to the end of this topic, I'll tell you, Bob shame continues. Yeah. But anyway, I want to get back to this because if the doctor said that he's hurt, he can't. If the doctor said he's injured, that means he's not capable of performing the task at a sufficient level to make it worth him being out there. That's the definition of injured.
Yeah.
If he's hurt, it means that something doesn't work right, but he's still manageable within a range of productivity.
Yeah.
He was in the second category,
mm-hmm.
or else he wouldn't have been out there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
That's so great.
It is. It is. Now, what we heard is that the doctor said that he couldn't get injured anymore.
Right.
Here's the thing. In the end, someone screwed up.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe it was just fluke. Maybe he was, you know, it's hard to be game ready when it's just practice. Mm-hmm. But that's true of every athlete coming off of a long injury.
Yeah.
And somebody has to. And it's not like they rode him through the whole first quarter.
No.
He played 6 minutes in the first quarter.
Yeah,
it was reasonable. That first shot, didn't your jaw just go, oh, no.
When he hit that first one, all I was thinking of, we're Cleveland. Oh, no, we're gonna get calved.
I can still visualize it in my mind. It sort of just rattled in a little bit, right? It wasn't like a perfectly clean one.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a little bit off to the left or right, and it might have rimmed out. But it fell, and I thought, oh, man, he's got it on his side tonight.
Yep.
We're doomed.
We're doomed.
Doomed. We'll come back and talk a little more Raptors in a bit, but do you want to do a quick Jeff Pollock thing while I get myself one of those crappy cups and espresso?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, Jeff Pollock, he was thinking of going to the game last night, and he was happy in the end he didn't. Those are expensive, expensive tickets. But yeah, our lawyer, his name is Jeff Pollock. And by the way, shout out to Jeff Pollock. He donated for the girls' charity, as did Bob Mackiewicz. Thank you very much, the Hope for Help Music Festival. So think about this. My lawyer, Bob's lawyer, not only is he great at the law, but he's also donating to charity. Donated to my girls' Hope for Help charity for the school in Mombasa, Kenya. If you need a lawyer, fully recommend him. He'll take care of everything, whether it's litigation, states, trust, your will, whatever. JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. JeffPollock.com, 416-777-0088. That number again, 416-777-0088. He will make that part of your life simpler, easier. You really never have to worry about any legal thing again. So again, JeffPollock.com, 416-777-0088. So, Bob, you were commenting before about my outfit because, you know, dressed up a little bit. And until the Raptors are out of the playoffs, I am gas bagging at a level that I've never done before in terms of like TV hits, like CP24, CFTO, CTV Newsnet. You know, my dumb mug is everywhere.
You're like the bare naked ladies back in the 90s when there wasn't a supermarket opening or a county fair that they wouldn't play.
Oh, yeah, that's me. And, you know, basically, I put it like this. When I'm on TV, it means that all the real journalists or reporters said no. And I'm at least one step above a streeter. I'm above when the mic goes to the fan going, so what do you think? I think they're going to win. All right, back to you. I'm a higher level than streeter. I'm a lower level than journalist. I'm somewhere in between, but I usually have good energy. But most important, I say yes. And as a former guest booker, the guy who says or the girl who says yes, whoa, they're valuable.
Okay, so I'm going to put it in basketball terms. If I see you on TV, it's like the coach is going nine deep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're the ninth man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're not a rotation player.
No.
But somebody goes down in front of you, and you're going to see minutes.
I'm Patrick. I'm Patrick McCaw.
You're Patrick McCaw.
Because it's basically just been eight guys, and every now and then.
Patrick McCaw.
Like, McCaw hit a three in game one of the finals. Like, oh, look at you. And then you haven't really seen him much since. But right. Think about this. The moment the Raptors are done, you're not going to see me anymore. And it's not going to be, hey, do you want to talk about the Jays? Or do you want to talk about the Argonauts or TFC? Like, until the Mitch Marner contract, you ain't going to see me on TV, you know, after the NBA finals are done.
I want to point something out here, Matt, and this is something I truly admire about you, is that you say yes to opportunity.
Yeah.
A lot of people, myself included, talk themselves out of things because it's not enough this or it's too much that.
Yeah.
But you just do it and then see what happens. And most of the time, things go the way they always go. They're fine.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes they suck.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're great.
Yeah.
But 99% of things on this earth are fine.
Yep.
And you say yes to fine, which turns it into good.
That's the idea. Because I don't have many other translatable skills. So I'm always going to say
many
yes.
Or any. I couldn't hear any. You. I'm just got this cold. And
yeah. I don't have a lot. So okay. No. I always say yes. And people say, oh, do you get paid? I'm like, no. But there was a lot of guests that went on off the record. None of them got paid. You just keep saying yes. because you don't know where it's going to go. But yes leads to more positive places than no, which sounds like that should be on a calendar with a cat hanging on with a, you know, hang in there.
So. You won't let me manage your sommelier career, which is a mistake, but so be it.
You can't manage this Instagram account.
I don't have to manage this Instagram account. It's not going to make me 10% of anything. I feel like I should sit down with you and edit a self-help book. Mm. Like Matt's self-help book, I think would really help people.
Ooh.
And we could maybe build it around wine.
Yeah.
Like a bottle a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if the doctors would love that.
Most doctors would probably lean negative on a bottle a day.
What if we did a glass a day?
Glass day's fine.
Okay. This is a brilliant, like, think about this.
Yeah.
We'll call it Wine for Life.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Working title. And every day you just select a kind of wine
mm-hmm.
and write a little bit about how to live.
Yep.
And why this wine is like that.
Ooh. How about this? Wine for Life, colon, to stop you from whining about your bad life.
See, there you go.
No,
it's good.
Wordplay.
Yeah, we could see this is why I'm, as an editor, I'd come in and maybe shorten it.
Maybe tighten it up a little bit.
A little bit around
it's
the
a little
edges.
Wordy. A little wordy.
But I love what you're doing there.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go.
You're not going to help me help you, are you?
Yeah.
I know.
Busy right now.
I understand.
Oh.
Okay, so let's get back to the game here
sure.
for a second. So we both feel fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's 3-2.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, history on one side, but then also a great team on the other side to consider.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like single, if you do this through single serving, you're terrified. Because you just go, okay, on the bigger picture, will Golden State win three in a row? Could Kawhi Leonard win three in a row? You're like, no, that's nuts. But then you go single serving, especially after they won last night. Because do you think they can win an Oracle the last time they'll ever be there? They're not going to lose three in a row at home. Like, no, of course not. Uh-oh, Golden State's winning game six, and then it's just a game seven.
I have to admit, this is how I see it playing out.
Mm-hmm.
I do see it playing out this way. We could win an Oracle.
Yep.
We have. It's just the odds of winning an Oracle three times in one series.
Feels remote.
Feels remote.
But the optimist side says they dominated Golden State in game three. Their most impressive half of this playoffs was probably the second half of game four. So we've seen recent success, and not just where they won by the hair of their chinny chin chin, where they looked damn good for about six quarters of those eight quarters in Oracle. So maybe, hooray, feeling good.
It's possible that going into a game seven, we would feel like the underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Oh,
and I don't know if psychologically we're all ready to go back to the whatever happens, happens mentality.
Yeah.
We've gotten too close. There's been too many inspirational video essays. I don't think that we can go back to that spot and not feel real bad about it.
Oh, no. If there's a game seven, it's pure terror. Because if there's a game seven, then logically it'll say that Golden State had suddenly become the better team.
Would you rather play the game seven on the road or at home? I'd rather play it on the road. Because you know that giant crowd's going to be so tight. Because Golden State will make runs.
Yeah.
They will hit threes that they have no business hitting because they have done it in every game for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Neutral field.
Yeah.
Neutral court. Not in OKC. Not in Toronto. You know, we pick a neutral court.
I love this idea. So they go and play it at the blue-tinged court of Boise State.
Sure. Somewhere in between Oakland and Toronto. Somewhere in middle America. Throw that game there.
The Battle of Ohio.
Sure.
I love it.
Yeah. 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 I would. God. Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're just in pure. And by. Oh, no. Before we end. No. There's one other thing. I'm staring right at it. Congratulations to your mom.
Oh, yeah. Right. My mom graduated university yesterday with high distinction.
That is fantastic.
She did a course a year for 20 years.
Yeah.
Once the kids were out of the house.
A course a year for 20 years. That is fantastic. And what I love about that is when you're a kid, you looked at adults, you know, people in their 40s, and you're like, oh, that's what you are for the rest of your life, is that 45-year-old coming home from their meeting. And you sort of forget the idea that people can reinvent, people can change, you know, that their transformation isn't something that just happens when you go to university, that it's something that can happen at every age. And that's what I love about the story of your mom graduating.
Instagram is filled with posts about how you can live your better life.
Yeah.
And she did.
Yeah. Perfect way to put it, Bob. You feel better?
Thank you.
We will talk soon. Oh, man. When we do the next pod, it could be terror because game 6 is on Thursday and game 7 would be on Sunday. Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt. Ch-ch-ca.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cos podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.